Welcome to Christian News in Focus, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church. Your host is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis of news and current events from a biblical worldview. Here with this week's edition of Christian News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition to Christian News in Focus. I am your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Christian News in Focus. Our guest on the program today will be Mark Harrington, president of Created Equal. And Mark is in Washington, D.C. for the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, that fateful day in which the Supreme Court of the United States, 40 years ago this week, legalized abortion in the continental United States, striking down every state's law that prohibited abortion on demand, and thus began the Holocaust. 55 million lives later, 40 years, four decades of abortion in this country. The question that we have today is God judging America for the sin of abortion. And I think that the evidence is astounding around us that indeed God is judging America for the sin of abortion. Just as Abel's blood cried out from the ground for justice, the blood of the unborn cries out today for justice. I'd like to begin today's program by reading from Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The scriptures declare that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible talks about that in the womb, God has created us. That sanctum in the womb in which God begins the creation of man and women, and yet that's been invaded by the sin of abortion. And this is the time for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up. And this week, and one of the things that we're doing at the Ohio Christian Alliance out there on the Facebook page and Twitter accounts and some of the social media, we've asked folks to black out their photo image in remembrance of the unborn dead as a witness to those who have been lost through the sin of abortion. We certainly pray for the men and women who have both been affected by abortion, who believed society's lies, that it is just a choice, that it's not a life. And yet, that legacy and that memory and that haunting stays with them for a lifetime. We do pray for them, but we also pray for the young women at this time that are deciding and making a decision whether to keep the child in the womb or not. We pray that God would give us the wisdom to reach these young people. Thank God for the crisis pregnancy centers and the pro-life movement that's out there. And this week, tens of thousands showed up in Washington for the March for Life, and they're going to be marching in Washington on Friday. But this week was the inauguration of President Barack Obama for his second inauguration. And this is what was so disturbing. We saw the Health and Human Services Director on Capitol Hill, which is Kathleen Sebelius. Here was a pro-choice woman who, before she came to office to hold that national post, was an advocate for abortion, in fact, late-term abortion. President Obama himself has reaffirmed his position time and again, supporting abortion on demand, and has shown no inclination to help us on the pro-life side. So we're going alone, as it were, in the states, here at the Ohio State House, moving forward with pro-life legislation to limit and restrict abortion on demand and to defend the voiceless, which is the unborn. And joining me on the phone right now from Washington, D.C., is President of Created Equal, Mark Harrington, my good friend. Mark, thank you for joining us on this program today.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, my friend, thank you for what you're doing, and you're being a witness, those that are with you, with the signages of aborted fetuses there in Washington. Tell us what happened during the inauguration festivities and what your group has been doing.
Well, as you know, Chris, we filed for a permit, a public gathering permit, on Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the parade route for the inauguration of President Obama. And yesterday morning at about 6 a.m. in the morning, we arrived at our permit location, got through the security checkpoints, and set up our display, which shows the the handiwork of the abortion industry, including Obama and his support for it, that is, aborted babies, juxtaposed next to phrases, pro-life phrases and so forth. And we were there all day until about noon when all the folks started to gather, and about 3 o'clock President Obama came by. Actually, the motorcade came by twice. You know, it goes from the White House to the Capitol to take the oath, and then after the oath, goes back to the White House to review the parade. So on the way back, I mean, President Obama, as he came by our section, which was, you know, with all our the signage, he got a good glimpse of, like I say, what he supports, and that is abortion. He looked right over at him. I mean, I looked him right in the eyes. I mean, it was that close. So we came and did what we had to do, and that was to be a prophetic witness against the shedding of innocent blood in our nation that we have now tolerated 40 years, a president that now we've reelected, the most pro-abortion president in American history. These are momentous times, and so we felt we had to raise the standard in this nation's capital, remind the president and his followers what we are now tolerating. And so we got the job done, and now we look forward to the upcoming March for Life on Friday.
Well, and thank you for what you're doing in the sentinel witness that you are a created equal, and that you are bringing the life message of what is the aftermath of abortion with graphic images that are needed to tell the story, just like the Holocaust in Germany. There were those who did not believe what was taking place with the Jews and with the dissidents of Nazi Germany that were being exterminated in the camps. The world didn't want to believe. They wanted to turn away a deaf ear, and they wanted to turn away from what ultimately was the truth, and yet it was the American army that made sure, that gathered up the people from around the towns of where these chambers of death were in throughout Europe, and forced them to go and to tour the furnaces, to tour the mounds and mountains of corpses that had been destroyed through the Holocaust, the Nazi Holocaust. And so what you're doing, my friend, is to bringing the graphic image of abortion to the public. It is distasteful to many. It is sickening to them, as it ought to be. If ever we become calloused, if ever we become dismissive of these images, God help us as to where we're going as humanity, as a nation. And thank you, because, you know, my wife and I, years ago, when we were starting out in the ministry, we came back from Bible college, and we went to a film one night, and it... it was a very graphic film about abortion, and it was very, it changed my life. It changed my view of abortion and what I needed to do. In fact, the scriptures say in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works?" You see, from this scripture here, we see that God is going to hold us accountable if we are silent of those who are being drawn off to death at the abortion mills. If we are silent and do not speak up for the innocent unborn, then God will hold us accountable, not only in this life, but in the judgment seat of Christ. I'm convinced of that. You know, my pastor, some years ago, he said from the pulpit, and this is a famed Baptist church in Akron, Ohio, that once had national fame. He stood up and said, "It is my conviction that if you're not pro-life, you're not saved. You can't worship the Lord of life and worship Jesus, who is life, and pronounce death." I thought that was profound, and yet many of our preachers and our pulpits today are silent, Mark. But thank God for what you're doing. You're like John the Baptist, who is out there in the wilderness and preaching the truth and pointing the finger to Herod, who is guilty of sin. And so yesterday, thank you for doing that. For all of us back home who are praying, who are witnessing and doing what we can to stop abortion. You know, the Ohio Christian Alliance helped promoted the Choose Life license plate. $20 of each specialty plate goes to help for adoption services and help counseling centers across the state of Ohio, crisis pregnancy centers. Many of you were supporting pro-life organizations in your area, or you've come to the State House to support the Heartbeat Bill and other pro-life legislation. But Mark, how do we win over the hearts and minds of young people? Tell us about what you've been doing, what's called the Justice Ride.
Yes, Chris. Well, we're on one now, and that is we took a van load of young people to Washington for the inaugural and for the Walk for Life, the March for Life in Washington. And the idea with the Justice Ride is to give young people a broader context for the battle that they're in. That they need to understand that the pro-life fight is not, you know, in isolation, that this is nothing new, that the battle for equality has been waged since the beginning of time, and that we can look back at history, specifically the civil rights movement, and draw some parallels, and I would submit encouragement from the leadership of the civil rights movement, and especially what they called freedom rides. And freedom rides were where African Americans primarily, although Caucasians also, got on buses and defied the rulings of the law there as far as segregating buses, and they broke the law in order to make a point. And this drew young people from all over the country to come in and be willing to sacrifice if necessary. And as you know, a lot of them ended up violent, unfortunately. But it drew attention to what was going on in the South more than anything. So what we do is what we call a justice ride. In a similar way, we gather young people on the road, take them out, train them on the road, teach them how to defend the preborn, and then take them out on a college or high school campus and let them use what they've learned. And we also draw upon these parallels of history during the week or with them. So they understand that, again, that this cause is bigger than themselves. And they're fulfilling the dreams of Dr. King and others who said that we are all made in God's image and that we're created equal. And so we've been able to inspire a young generation, and the movement is succeeding there. There's been a lot of written lately about how the pro-choice movement is losing ground with young people. Nancy Keenan, who is she's the former president of NARAL. She wrote that after she got off the subway in Washington one year, this was 2 years ago, I think it was, and she saw the thousands, hundreds of thousands of young people going to the March for Life.
Yes.
She said to herself, she said, they're so young and there's so many of them. And she realized that they don't have the same energy. In fact, she called it an intensity gap. An intensity gap. And that's what's happening. There's an intensity gap between the young people in the pro-life movement and the young people in the pro-choice movement. In other words, there aren't enough of them, and there are more of us, and we're intense. We're focused. The young people are energized and ready to do stuff. And to me, that is the sign of to come. You can say what you want about Obama, the Supreme Court, all things look, as far as the indicators look like, abortion on demand is going to continue for quite a while. But when you look at this one indicator, which I think is the most important, is there a generation that's really to carry the mantle of our forefathers, the folks that founded this movement like Jack Wilkie and others, into the future? And that's what we're seeing on Friday. 400,000 young people are scheduled to come into Washington and march for life on the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Oh, Mark, that is so exciting, and it's encouraging to know that This is the movement, this is the future of the pro-life movement, that young people are choosing life rather than death. They're choosing to own up to responsibility that the life in the womb is a sacred gift of God. We pray for anyone that's listening right now, that if you're contemplating abortion, we pray that you would choose life. We pray that you would choose the life within and give it life. This is what God has given. May God give you courage, and may you seek help. You can call the office of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we'll get you help if you need help. 330-887-1922. That's the office of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we'll hook you up with good pro-life people, loving people that will help you with whatever your needs are. But choose life. Do not make that decision that you'll regret the rest of your life. You know, Mark, this coming Friday when they have March for Life, one of the observances is in fact in front of the Supreme Court, and it's a group, Silent No More, and it's basically, these are people sharing their own testimonies of how abortion affected them. And I took my sons and my daughter a few, 2 years ago, and your display was there. We spent some time with you. And by the way, what an incredible testimony it is along the parade route. You put together a film right after that march, and it was a very moving film in saying, how much longer are we going to be coming every year to the Capitol, to Washington, to stop abortion? And now it's been 40 years. But like Wilberforce, let's not give up. Wilberforce was determined to see the abolishment of slavery in Great Britain. Let us be just as determined to see the end of abortion in America, and that every life is welcomed into this world. But one of those observances is men and women that come to a platform and they share their own personal testimony. And my boys and my daughters were there. I'll tell you what, there wasn't a dry eye. People were moved by what they heard. Men and women who shared their testimony. Men who said, I regret the drive to the abortion clinic that day. I wish I can have that half an hour back. I pray every day that there will be others that will choose life and not make the fateful decision that I did to end the life of my own child. That is such a powerful testimony to hear, and yet the major media doesn't cover this, Mark. They don't have on PBS or some of the national media an hour-long drama. It would have high ratings to hear the effects of abortion and people that regret that decision, going all the way back to 1973. The reason why they won't do that is they know that it would have a great impact upon our culture. And yet, my friend, you and I are using the resources that God gave us to get the word out.
Amen. And we will be standing on the steps of the Supreme Court today at 1 o'clock as part of the Roe v. Wade anniversary memorial. And there will be many leaders coming to the podium speaking of that very thing. And that is that not only is the victim the preborn, and there's been 40 million of them, but there are millions upon millions of women and men that have been hurt by abortion, continue to be ravaged by it. And we are a nation that, you know, will not long endure if we continue down this path. It's a hard thing to solve, Chris. I would not treat it any other way. It's not simple. There's a lot of things that need to change in the nation.
Yes.
But it needs to start in the church. It needs to start with us. And I don't know if you've seen the most recent polling, but almost 2 out of 10 abortions are done or committed by born-again Christians. These are women who claim Christ. Catholic believers account for almost 50%.
Oh, Lord.
They're no different than the general population, according to the Guttmacher Institute. 6 million evangelicals voted for Obama this time. So we can look at the culture and say, hey, you know, we got to trying to get their act together, but if we don't change what's going on in our churches, if our pulpits don't start speaking the truth from them, really, we have very little chance of turning this around. And my focus been more recently since the election is to try to focus in on the church. Let's activate the pulpits. Let's get the young people energized and into the movement.
Amen.
And that's the key. I think that's the key. We've got to turn it around in our churches before we can turn it around in the culture.
Absolutely. I'm sitting with a pastor today, and I think sitting down and having lunch and talking with the pastors about these issues and encouraging them and giving them enthusiasm by what we share with them to take it into the pulpit and to preach the pro-life message makes such an impact, and it really changes people's minds. And so the power of God's word and the power of influence of the church absolutely can change the culture. My friend, tell us about Created Equal and how people can reach you and get in contact and help support financially Created Equal.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned that. The term Created Equal, of course, is founded in our Declaration of Independence, and beyond that, of course, you know, we reference it. Really, it comes from the chapter one of the book of Genesis, where we are made in God's image, we are created in His image. But as I listened to our president yesterday, he referred to the phrase at least four or five times in his speech. I'm not certain how many yet, but I was there. I heard it all. He used that phrase, but yet he denies the very precept that we're all created equal when he talks about the freeborn. When he put his hand on the Bible and he swore to take an oath to defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to secure the blessings of liberty for us and our posterity, he denied that right that moment, because our posterity is a reference to our preborn children.
Yes.
So Created Equal, we are focused like a laser beam on the young people, getting them on the road with us, training them, taking them out on the justice rides, and then activating them, cutting them loose, giving them the tools they need to take to their campuses, their high schools and colleges, to make a difference for the babies and for Jesus Christ. That's our focus. It'll always be that. On occasion, we feel the need to go to Washington or whatever and speak to a power, to be a prophetic witness, to bring the truth to our leadership. And we do that when necessary, but our main focus is training young people. And folks are more than happy to, you know, please contact us by going to our website simply at createdequal.net. That's createdequal.net if you're interested in coming on the road with us.
Mark, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being in Washington this week. For those of us who can't go, thank you for standing in the gap for us and being a witness of life in the message of Jesus Christ, that abortion is a sin, that it is a Holocaust that needs to stop. Thank you for being that witness, my friend. And I look forward to having you on the program again in the future. Thank you, and God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. With us on the program today was Mark Harrington, president of the Created Equal, and their work is around the regional area and all over the eastern seaboard, from Florida to Michigan, and this week in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Christian News in Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and you can visit our website at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. You can also log on to Facebook. We're out there on the social networks of Facebook and Twitter. And this week, we've blacked out our profile pictures as witness to the unborn, as in remembrance of those who perished through the 40 years of Roe v. Wade and the four decades of abortion in our country. So I want to thank you for joining us today. Next week, we'll be talking again about news that is relevant to today and our Christian worldview and how we approach that. And you can reach us each week here on Wednesday and on Sundays. And this is Christian News in Focus, and this is Chris Long, and thanks for being with us today. God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian News in Focus with Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. For more information, please call 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922. Or visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Christian News in Focus is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, where Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 11. Sunday evening services are held at 6 p.m., and the Wednesday prayer and Bible study is at 6:30. Mantua Country Baptist Church is located at 12385 Chamberlain Road in Aurora, Ohio. To contact the church, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Thank you for listening, and be sure and tune in again next week at this time for another edition of Christian News in Focus with Chris Long.